Heavenly Father, we ask you to open your word to our hearts and to open our hearts to your word in Christ's name. Amen. Would you like to sit down? Nice to have a little text. The first shall be last. It's a lovely human story, isn't it? It's Jesus, he's travelling from Capernaum into Galilee. His disciples, the apostles and the disciples are with him. The 12 that he's chosen to be his particular messengers are with him. And they were talking about something. He could see that they were as they were walking along. You know, sometimes you're aware that a group of people are discussing something. When they stop, I suppose, for a break, he says, what were you talking about back there? And they all went very silent and sort of guilty, you know. But of course he knew and he prodded them. What they were actually arguing about was who was the greatest of them. In other words, what was their pecking order? And it's a terribly important thing to human beings. It's awful, but we do it all the while. In our little circle, you know, who's the leader, who's the second in command, who's the third in command, who's the bottom of the rank. I do remember when I had chickens in the rectory here, they had a pecking order. There was, you know, there was the boss one. I'm afraid it was usually the man. And down the bottom, but the sort of the weakest, which had to sort of have the other food when the others had all eaten. So who's the leader of the pack? Well, I'm sure as they said it to Jesus, well, we were discussing, you know, which of us, they must have felt stupid. And Jesus said to them something that he said several times, so it obviously was a message that took a long while to sink in. That if you want to be leader, you've got to learn to follow. If you actually want to be leader, you've got to learn to serve. Years and years ago, I preached at the passing out parade at Sandhurst, and I was very interested in the Royal Military Academy, that their motto is, to lead is to serve. And I believe that is actually regarded as a mark of a good officer. A good officer actually serves his troops. He cares more about them than he does about himself. And this was the teaching of Jesus consistently. After this, on the day when Jesus was betrayed, you will remember he had supper with his friends the day when he instituted the Holy Communion. But on that occasion, he began the evening, much to their surprise, by washing their feet. And always in those days, when you went into a meal, there was a big bowl of water near the door, and the lowliest person present, the bottom person, a slave, or, again, I have to say it, a woman, would wash the feet of those who needed their feet washed. They didn't need them washed because they were dirty, but it was a routine. It was like you wash your hands before eating a meal, you know. And so as they all went in, I imagine the disciples passed this bowl of water and they thought, oh, so-and-so will do it. You know, the one who joined last, they'll do it. And lo and behold, who did it? Their Lord and Master. Their rabbi, their teacher, he picked up the bowl of water and he went round and washed their feet. And when he got to Peter, Peter said, oh, you mustn't wash my feet. And Jesus said to him, if I don't wash your feet, you're not part of me. You're not part of my band, as it were. But then he said to them, note what I've done. You call me teacher and Lord, and so I am. He didn't say that he wasn't. But if I, your teacher and Lord, wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And it's a very interesting message that takes a long while to get through to us, that the closer we come to Christ, the better we learn to serve. And the disciples found it really quite difficult. If you want to be a leader, learn to serve. And his final, in this little incident, visual aid was a child, and a very small child, a child that you could take in your arms. And so there was obviously a child around when he was talking to them, and he picked up, Jesus picked up this child, stood in the middle of them with his child in his arms, and said, "This is what it's actually like. This is actually what it's about." And this is not the first occasion he did it. This is what being my follower means. If you can understand and welcome this child, you can understand and welcome me. What's significant about a child? I look around, I see a few teachers and ex-teachers in the congregation, and a lot of parents. You will know, and a lot of grandparents, and probably great-grandparents. The truth is, we all know that there is never a moment in our life when we are more dependent on somebody than when we're first born. We are absolutely helpless. If nobody helped us, we'd die. But we would also know, well, I don't know, but mums do, that there is probably no moment when a woman is more fulfilled, you can correct me afterwards if I'm wrong, than when, for the first time, she takes the newborn baby and suckles it. This is mum who's going to guide and guard their lives, tell them to wash behind their ears. But at that moment, what is she doing? She is serving. To lead is to serve. We win by losing. And it's a tremendously important and quite difficult lesson sometimes to get into our heads. I remember an ordination service at Christ Church in Oxford some years ago, when the preacher, who was a professor of New Testament in the University of Oxford, addressing very directly the candidates. There were these all in their nice new robes, you know, waiting to be ordained. And he actually, this was the lesson. And he said, "If any of you at this moment are sitting there thinking, in a moment I'll be ordained, and then I'll be the Rev, and I'll be quite important, and eventually I'll be in charge of a church. If you're thinking that, get up and go now." Well, nobody moved, I'm glad to say. It would have been. But what a powerful way of putting it, because this is what Jesus was saying. Don't imagine that following me gives you status, you know, some great role. What following me means, you're following the servant. Because I am, as we will be singing later in our offering hymn, I am the servant king. I've come, he said, one of his most powerful sayings, even the Son of Man himself didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And if you actually think about the whole life of Jesus, just think, it was helpless from the word go. You know, he was laid in a feeding trough. And when he died, he was placed in a borrowed tomb. From first to last, there was no great dignity about the life of Jesus. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The birds of the air have nests. The foxes have holes. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He never owned a house. He never owned a flat. He was always put up by somebody, you know, or they slept in the open air. I'll pause to tell you an absolutely true but funny story that happened the Christmas before last. A friend of mine was preaching at the Christmas morning family service in Berkshire. And he thought he'd liven up the service a bit, so he got a member of the youth fellowship, a young woman in the youth fellowship, to help him to do a little sketch, which was written by Riding Lights, who some of you may have heard of. And this was a sketch, an imaginary sketch, of course, between the Archangel Gabriel and the Virgin Mary. And it's the Virgin Mary talking to the Archangel Gabriel long after he had told her that she was to be the mother of the Messiah. And she says, I've sort of heard something from some shepherds, you know, that my baby is going to be laid in a feeding trough. Oh, and that can't be true, can it? And the Archangel Gabriel says, in this little sketch. Well, I'm afraid it is, actually, yes. It's absolutely true. Your baby will be born in a stable and laid in a feeding trough. So she said, but hang on, you know, you told me he's going to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings, you know, the Son of God. You can't, you don't lay princes in a feeding trough. Well, at that point, the congregation in this little country church fell about laughing. Now my friend thought, well, it's quite a funny sketch, but this was ridiculous. Some of them couldn't contain themselves. They were stuffing handkerchiefs into their mouths. It wasn't till the end of the sketch that as you went back to your seat, you saw that in the fourth row, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge were sitting, William and Kate, and she was pregnant. And they thought that was really quite funny. Fortunately, they came up to him afterwards and said they thought it was very, very funny. Well, his chances of promotion probably survived that. But it does actually make the point, doesn't it? Jesus had no status himself. To teach us not to worry about status, it's very hard not to. Not to worry about what people think about us, not to worry about where our place is in the human pecking order, not to want to have some sort of ranking in public esteem. And it's very, you know, I confess, very difficult. But our helpless Saviour, the servant King, should teach us that. The Son of Man didn't come to be served. He didn't, but to serve. And all his life, if you think of it, he served. He served healing the sick, laying his hands on the lepers, giving sight to the blind and hope to the poor. He came with a message of good news for the poor. Born in a stable, buried in a borrowed tomb, Jesus, our Saviour, our Lord, our Master, our Teacher, it was the title of a book some years ago, The Man for Others. And he calls us not to struggle to be important, but to struggle to be servants. God help us as we do it.